Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 291, recorded on August 6th of 2019. Today on the call with us, we have Russell, Kendall, and Kale on Teams, and our special guest, Stephanie Krieger. Today, we will be talking about Azure DataBox Edge, which is a very exciting new product that came out not too long ago. Before we get into that, let us do a round of Azure updates. Kale, do you want to start?
Sure. I got a few here. One of them, something I'm directly involved with blockchain. So we announced on a previous podcast that we had an event going on this past weekend called TruffleCon. Truffle is one of the partners, a huge partner that we work with in the Ethereum development space. And so we had a big conference here actually on Redmond campus this weekend. And we also announced some things we've been working on for the development experience, mostly two big features. So you can not only do the create new project, you know, compile, deploy smart contracts that we announced back at Build, but now you can also do things like interact with your contract. So once it's been deployed, we'll basically dynamically generate a UI inside VS Code to allow you to interact with the smart contract. And then we also plug the debugger in. So we have the full, you know, function keys and controls inside of VS Code. So F10, F11, F5, all those kind of things used for debugger, watch windows, you know, all the variables, everything, including the instructions coming out of the EVM. So we have all the debugging experience hooked up now, so you can do set breakpoints, do all those kind of cool things. And seems like people like it. So, you know, feedback accepted, but this is one thing that we just announced.
That's nice. Anything that makes developers' lives easier for that sort of thing is a good help. It's I love that kind of addition to the UIs.
Cool. And two other ones, not related, but a little bit different, is one was around Azure Archive Storage. There's been some price reductions, up to 50% in some regions. So if you're looking to kind of understand from a archival procedure what you're doing with your data and how you can make best use of that from a cost perspective, you should take a look at that, because there's been a lot of changes in a lower pricing scheme there. And then the last piece was around Azure Dedicated Host, which I didn't know much about, but I saw this was just announced, which is a dedicated virtual machine on a single-tenant physical server. So it's slightly different than our traditional multi-tenant VMs that we have in Azure, and it's really good for those who have basically a lot more regulation and things around where they can deploy things, and maybe have been sticking things on-prem just because of that reason. So this could help open the gateway to move some of those workloads to the cloud in a slightly different model.
Awesome. So I had two that I put in the show notes. One was around cross-tenant management now available in Azure Security Center. So what that means is that Azure Security Center now also utilizes Azure Dedicated Resource Management, one of the key component of Azure Lighthouse that came out not too long ago. And now you're essentially able to manage security policies, improve the secure score, get different remediation recommendations, and manage alerts now across different tenants that you have control over. And from like a partner perspective, that would be super useful when you're overlooking a number of different Azure tenants. The other one I put in was that now moving your VMware resources to Azure is a lot easier. There's actually going to be a video inside from Microsoft Mechanics that will walk through an experience of coming from an on-prem VMware vSphere environment into provisioning an Azure VMware solution private cloud. You'll essentially have VMware running on Azure's native infrastructure. So now you're not looking at additional virtualization. It's actually running on our bare metals. And you'll also be able to continue to use your VMware tools that you're already familiar with. VMs can either be created and managed from the vSphere experience, or you can also bring it into the Azure experience using different ARM templates or whatever tools that you're used to, or even a combination of both.
Cool. So that's API level integration of management of those VMs.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
That's good. So I think that's such a cool update. I only had a little one because I think that VMware one is actually really, really awesome. And I think that's going to benefit so many of our customers. But I just had a little one. Azure Cloud Shell now supports Azure Function CLI. So if you wanted to go in and just start creating and testing and running your Azure functions from the Azure Cloud Shell, you can do that. So I thought that was cool.
Awesome.
Wow.
Anything from you, Russell?
Nope. I was reading up on the VMware one, actually. I thought that was really interesting, like Kendall just commented. And the cross-tenant management and that Lighthouse announcement, really, really important to our partners, particularly those doing managed service provision or anyone that's got, you know, multiple customers out there. It's such a big benefit for them. Saves them so much time.
For sure. And we'll definitely want to try to get someone from Azure Lighthouse or from the Cloud Simple solution on the VMware stuff as well on the show at some point.
One thing that's important to call out is it's not highly available yet in the
Azure VMware solution.
Yeah. I think it's in
it's East only West, East US and West US right okay. now. But and yeah. then Western West Europe is oh. coming next.
Yeah.
That's good to know, right. though.
Good call.
Good catch. Awesome.
So now, Stephanie, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do?
Thanks, Cynthia. So I'm Stephanie Krieger. I'm a program manager on the Datavox Edge team and super excited to have the opportunity to talk with you all about our new product.
What is our new product?
What is it? Somebody explain it to me.
Sure. So, Datavox Edge is an edge computing appliance that also has built-in data transfer capabilities to help you easily transfer data online into Azure. So it is an AI-optimized computing device that has a built-in onboard FPGA, a field programmable gate array, that enables you to accelerate, to actually program the processor to accelerate AI workloads at the edge, and enables you to do things such as pre-processing data, right? You've got huge volumes of data, right? Data is growing exponentially at the edge, and you have so much data. What do you do with that data, or where do you even begin to get started? Sometimes it's prohibitive because the amount of data to transfer it to Azure, or sometimes there's a ton of data, but the actually valuable data is a smaller set, right? Perhaps you have cameras that run 24/7, and you'd like to gain information from the data that those cameras are collecting. But is the data always interesting? Can you filter that down automatically? Use machine learning rather than having to have somebody sit and sift through all that film and filter that data down to the interesting bits so you can optimize your bandwidth and storage and get quicker insights from that data. You can also use Datavox Edge to run ML directly at the edge for faster insights, for low latency insights close to where your data happens. So you have scenarios such as in a factory, right, for quality assurance, you're taking images of, or you have sensors running on parts as they're being built down the line. What if you could detect anomalies faster, close to where that data is happening? You can detect anomalies as they're happening and improve quality, reduce waste, right? Or another scenario, maybe in traffic safety. What if you have a smart city scenario where people crossing a crosswalk? What happens when you have someone crossing a crosswalk who can't make it in time, and perhaps that crosswalk automatically resets itself, recognizes that person needs more time to cross, and automatically resets itself to improve safety. Those are a couple of just very diverse examples, and there's so many of them, of where having quick insights, not taking the time to round trip that data, can give you just tremendous value. So I do want to actually make one thing that's super clear, though, is that, you know, think about it, when you think about Datavox Edge, and one of the coolest things about it is Databox Edge is a cloud managed appliance. So it means you deploy the physical device at the edge, so you can run your insights, so you can run processing right at the edge. But it's also cloud connected and cloud managed, and that means a couple of things. That means the person at the edge doesn't have to be your expert. You can manage that centrally. You can cloud manage the device and the workloads to it centrally. But what it also means is you have the power of the cloud and the edge working together. So, for example, if you work with machine learning, you know that the cloud is the best place, certainly the best place for building and training your ML models, because it has elastic storage and elastic compute. When you can build and train the model in the cloud and then push it to the edge to get those quick insights, that's where Databox Edge really shines, and the power of the cloud and the edge together work super well. So that's just a bit of an introduction. I'm happy to dive into any of those areas that might be of interest.
Yeah. So I actually, Stephanie, first of all, this is extremely interesting. I just got really excited because I really didn't understand it before you just explained it. I have four questions that you wrote down, but I'm not going to ask all of them in a row. But one is, can you just, and I know this is silly because I know a lot of our listeners do know this, but can you just clarify for people what you mean by the edge? I just want to make sure that anybody listening really understands. I remember the first time I heard intelligent edge, I was like, oh, we're making a new browser, which we did, but that's not what we were talking about. So can you just clarify when you say edge, what does that mean to you?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking that question. So when we talk about the intelligent cloud and the intelligent edge, right, and just I'll start with that example of what I used about building and training models in the cloud, right? The cloud is a super powerful space for processing data. But the cloud also doesn't answer everything. And the reason that is bandwidth, right? The time that it takes, the resources that it takes to get data, to round trip data, or to get data up to the cloud is prohibitive for some scenarios. The edge is where you are. The edge is where I am today. The edge is just the real world, right? Where data is actually being generated. So on your file system, in cameras, in sensors, there's so much data, and the proliferation of it, it's growing at extraordinary rates. One of my favorite quotes on the subject, I'm going to paraphrase actually, but it was October of 2018, this is from, so less than a year ago, Gartner said that at that time, about 10% of enterprise data was processed outside of a traditional data center. And they estimate that by 2025, that number is going to be 75%. Now, that's just 6 years away. But the reason is that data is just growing at such an extraordinary rate. Our CEO, Satya Nadella, says that data has gravity. And I love that. If you think about that, data has gravity, data coming down to the edge, and what can we do with it there? So the idea of edge computing is taking advantage of the power of so much data. Again, so maybe there's too much data to send to the cloud, or maybe you can take advantage of some scenarios right at the edge, right where that data is happening, to get benefits rather than sending everything up.
Sorry, I know I have so many questions. So as long as Cynthia, Russell, Kaylee are going to have to come off mute and interrupt me because I have so many. So just letting y'all know. So Databox, is this related to actually getting physical data storage mechanisms that you can upload your data to and send to Microsoft? Am I mixing this with a different product? And if it is the same product, are you saying that machine learning models will actually determine what you should put on the data box to send back to Microsoft?
So thanks for that question. And so Databox Edge is part of the Databox family. So Databox has offline data transfer devices as well as online devices. So the offline Databox data transfer devices are physical appliances that we ship to you that you load your data onto, and you ship it back to us physically, and we upload that data to the cloud. So the Databox offline products are fantastic, are fantastic solutions for getting tons of data from on-prem into the cloud. And there's different sizes based on the volume of data that you have. And of course, you can do that from anywhere. So if you have no bandwidth or super low bandwidth scenarios and a ton of data that you need to get to the cloud, that's what the offline products are for. The online products, there's Databox Gateway, which is a virtual appliance that runs in a VM on your own hardware. And DataBox Gateway is a data transfer appliance. It provides tools that enable you to manage bandwidth, you know, bandwidth throttling, scheduling, to enable you to more easily get data over the wire, online data transfer, when you do have relatively decent bandwidth and you want to be able to more easily and in a less disruptive way to your business perhaps, but more easily get large volumes of data to the cloud. You can do that online through the gateway. DataBox Edge has a built-in storage gateway, so it has those tools for helping to move data online over the wire to Azure. It additionally has this edge compute capability, which is about that intelligent edge processing. And that can either be for scenarios where you do want to act on your data before you send it to Azure to optimize the data you send, right? Whether that's filtering or transforming the data into another format or organizing it in some way, or for compute at the edge itself. So where you want to actually get those insights right at the edge, you may have some data that goes to Azure and some that never needs to, and that you just want to get those quick results from at the edge. So DataBox Edge combines both.
So now that you have the edge device, how would you interact with it? Say, like, I want to do machine learning, I want to do processing at the edge, but do you do it through the Azure portal? Like, what is the user experience like?
Terrific. So DataBox Edge, first of all, with you, DataBox Edge is hardware as a service. And this is something I'm really excited about because it makes it super easy to get started with ML at the edge. You don't buy the hardware. So you order DataBox Edge from the Azure portal, just like any Azure service, and we ship you the device and we support it. And so when we ship you the device, you get it. It is a one-use server. You rack it, set it up, turn it on, and activate it. And it is managed through the Azure portal. It's managed, said, through the cloud. So the person at your edge location, so maybe that's a retail stores or on a factory floor, you don't have to have super highly trained IT experts. It's really simple and straightforward to get it set up at the edge. And the more complex aspects of working with your ML workloads and such and getting your compute to the edge are managed from the cloud. So you will manage it just like a service from the Azure portal. Our compute platform is IoT Edge. And so when you set up compute on DataBox Edge, you're going to go through Azure portal. There's guidance online that can walk you through step by step setting up compute on DataBox Edge, and that will deploy IoT Edge, the IoT Edge runtime to your device and set up an IoT hub in the cloud where you can deploy modules through that mechanism. Well, what that means is really terrific because with IoT Edge, you can run virtually any code that you can deploy in a Docker-compatible container. You can run on IoT Edge, which means you can run it on DataBox Edge. So that means virtually any Azure compute services, from Azure Functions to Azure Machine Learning to Cognitive Services, Stream Analytics, SQL Database Edge, et cetera, as well as your own custom code. And any of those just are containerized. There's standard Linux containers, and you deploy them through the IoT hub directly to your DataBox Edge.
This is great. I mean, I've come across some football places, so soccer in America, obviously, where they're doing a lot of crowd monitoring and trying to do that kind of thing. And they've got a lot of local compute and storage to do all that kind of video processing to monitor crowds and what have you and the flow of people coming and going. I think this might suit that scenario quite well. What sort of sizes of data and compute power are we talking for these devices?
Absolutely. So DataBox Edge is a server class device. Said it's a one-use server is in terms of form factor. In terms of the power of the device, so it has 20 CPU cores, 2 10-core CPUs, as well as an onboard FPGA. As I mentioned, it's the Intel Aria 10 field programmable gate array, and you may have heard that, or you can see documentation online called the Project Brainwave FPGA, and that is an effort from Microsoft for accelerated AI.
Cool. And what about resilience on the storage? Is there any built-in resilience on the storage side of it?
There is not today. There is not yet today. So it is a standalone device today.
Okay. But I guess it's part of a hybrid network, or you're either extending your on-premise to it to do some of that processing and then maybe forwarding it onto the cloud or for storage if you're worried about the high availability part.
That's exactly right.
Cool. And availability-wise, is this available now across the world? Or is it which areas is it?
Thank you. Yes, so we just so Databox Edge just reached general availability in March of this year. We are today available in the United States and all European Union countries, and coming soon to many more. So definitely do please reach out for questions about availability in specific locations.
Fantastic. And I guess the last question for me is about the future on the Databox Edge. So what things have you got in the pipeline that you can talk about?
So I can't, but this is a super young product. And certainly I think one of the most exciting things about being a new product in a new space, right? The future is extraordinarily bright. One thing we are learning a ton from having the opportunity to talk to customers and learn what customers need from this solution and how to grow. Our product is Edge Compute First. We are seeking to continue to grow in that space. So feedback is super welcome, and we look forward to definitely keep in touch with us and keep an eye on us for developments that are on the way.
Cool, thank you.
Are there some user stories that you can share with us that we know they're using this ready, and when we see it, we're like, oh, this is what happened, Azure Databox Edge.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So we've been fortunate to work with a number of customers throughout our preview and have some super interesting scenarios, in fact, and some that that folks listening can learn more about online as well, with some videos available and additional information. And even in one case, there's code publicly available that you can check out and replicate the solution. So I'll start with talking about that one. So one very interesting scenario for edge computing is in retail. And we have a customer that's been partnering with us that's Kroger Sunrise, the Sunrise division of Kroger, the grocery retailer. And there's a scenario, this is actually a scenario where you can see the solution published for a scenario that we refer to as retail void detection. So about this, in grocery stores, how often have you walked into a store and you're going in there to get Wheaties and the shelf of Wheaties is empty, right? Well, it turns out that grocery retailers lose more money to empty shelves when the stuff is in the back, right? Stuff that doesn't get restocked on the shelves, than they do to shrinkage each year. So 7-8% is the figure that's given of the losses on average that accrue from that issue. And so one of the solutions there is using ML for void detection. So you can train an ML model that can automatically detect when the last box of Wheaties is picked up from that shelf and send a notification to the devices that the staff carries in the store. So somebody's got to go and restock those Wheaties. And think about what that helps. You've got people not having to manually keep track of all of those things. You've got less revenue loss because the shelves are getting restocked more effectively. So you're reducing that revenue loss. You're improving the productivity and of your staff because they don't have to be spending their time checking those shelves. They can be engaging with customers. They can be helping customers get in and out of the store and finding what they need more quickly. So there's improvement there on several fronts. And I will point to a site that you might want to check out. This is searchable as, if you look for Azure Intelligent Edge Patterns, you'll find a GitHub repository that has a void detection solution. That solution is actually published and gives you and with architecture and steps for deploying it if you want to check it out. So that's one example. Another one that you might want to check out online and that you can search to find the information is Olympus. The camera maker is a terrific partner that we've been working with. Well, Olympus has been exploring AI on the edge with Databox Edge in hospital operating rooms. And how can they imagine what you can do with the cameras that are in those operating rooms? That you can, you may think about the surgery itself, but from start to finish of just that process of surgery. So even at the simplest point, right, when a patient comes into the room and then a patient is prepped for surgery, well, What if you could automatically know the patient's in the room and ready to go and alert the doctor to that and get the doctor to the operating room a little bit faster? Think of the improvements, those small improvements and how those add up and how you can grow that to so many other aspects of that experience. There is actually a video that's available online. It's just about a 2-minute video that's really super worth the time to check out. You can search, if you search Olympus DataBox Edge, you'll find that and it'll tell you more about what they're doing in that scenario. So another one that's really interesting to talk about, you know, you think about the edge in a variety of different ways, where in some cases you may want to stay connected, right? A hybrid scenario where you're connected to the cloud. But what about where you have situations where you do need to be offline or remote? So Esri, the company that is a leader in location intelligence, Esri has mapping software that will redraw an environment. If you think about disaster response, right, can redraw a situation so that field teams can more easily respond. They know where people are in trouble, where people need help. So think about, though, a disaster response after an earthquake or after a tornado, and you don't have connectivity. But if the field team in the field has a DataBox Edge, then they can connect to that solution without being connected back to the main field base, and those maps can continue to redraw in the field and taking drone footage and interpreting it so that those maps can continue to update and those field teams can continue to get where they're needed. So those are a few diverse scenarios. And I think one of the things that's really interesting to look at there is that they also all boil down to, I've got a camera pointed at something, or I've got a sensor pointed at something, and I want to learn something about the data that's being collected there, right? And then I want to do something with that data. I want to alert someone. Maybe that's about employee safety, right? Maybe you have, I want to be able to know when employees aren't wearing required protective gear, if they enter a construction site or in a factory location. What kinds of things could you accomplish at the edge if you can get that information just super fast? And so you've got a camera or a sensor pointed at something. You can have an ML model running at the edge that's going to act on the data that mechanism is collecting, and then you're going to send an alert or send to a system to make use of that data. And the other thing to keep in mind is that you can also, in parallel, be sending that data back up to the cloud, right? So you can use the gateway functionality on DataBox Edge in parallel to do that less urgent activity of sending either the whole or an optimized data set back up to the cloud for continually retraining and improving models where that's appropriate. I do want to point something out, though, about models as well that I think is really important. So there's definitely scenarios like the grocery scenario that I shared, where you're going to train a custom model to do. You're going to train a model to do the thing you need it to do. But there's also a ton of opportunity for using ML at the edge, where Azure gives you opportunity to do that without having to train your own model. So if you're interested in exploring ML at the edge, I'd really recommend checking out Azure Cognitive Services and the Vision API, for example, where you have facial recognition, the ability to spot things, people, and learn information about things in images or about text and documents. You can use that. For example, imagine you've got a bunch of video or you've got a bunch of camera feeds and you'd love to store that information. It could be really useful, but it has things like faces or cars with license plates, and that's not ethical. You can't store that. You can use ML to automatically detect and blur any private information before you store that data and make it easier to store data and remain compliant with privacy regulations, for example. The idea there, take a look at what's actually available that you might be able to make use of really easily, and even with minimal or no custom training required at all, there might be more out there than you expect.
Yeah, Stephanie, I had a question about that. So it kind of goes back to what Russell was saying about the performance of this device compared to cloud, which has, you know, much greater capacity for things like compute and storage and things like that. So could there be a scenario too where someone, like you just mentioned, a really cool use case of saying, hey, just use these APIs to detect stuff, and maybe you don't even need to store the data, or maybe it's a minimal amount that you need to store or even train. But what about, like, could you train models in the cloud and then essentially you can push them down to this device so you could do like some heavy lifting in the cloud?
That's exactly right. That's exactly the beauty of having a cloud-managed device, because you don't want to build and train those models at the edge, right? You want the power of the, and really the elasticity, the cloud, the elasticity of both storage and compute power, because it can. If you are training a model, that takes a lot of power. Absolutely. The cloud is the right place to do that. So you can use these two solutions together super, super easily. You train that model in the cloud and then push it down to Databox Edge to run it continually. So you don't need to be round tripping the data continually to run your model, but you definitely want to be pushing that data back up to the cloud to retrain and continually improve that model.
That's awesome. And then does anything have to change? Because I haven't done this, obviously, but I'm just thinking through in my head, if someone wanted to get and start using this technology, they could go, you know, place their order for the Edge device for like the online one. But they could start doing this stuff right away, right? They could start training their models. They could start proving everything works. And then when the device shows up, they plug it in. They can essentially, you know, do what we're talking about, push those models down there, and they're ready to go. So they don't have to like wait for it to come. They could actually be building this stuff in the cloud and get it ready by the time the device even shows up.
You can absolutely start training your model, start thinking about how you're going to be using that data, and start to work on your solution immediately. I would recommend checking out Azure Machine Learning Studio. That is a phenomenal set of tools that can help you step by step in building, training, and deploying a model, and makes it easier to deploy. It can help you in deploying that model to Databox Edge. With ordering Databox Edge, because Databox Edge is hardware as a service, in mind you're not buying the hardware, so it's super easy to get started. There's no hardware to buy up front. When you order the service, you just go to Azure Portal, you order the Azure Databox Edge service, just like you would any Azure service, and we ship you the device. So the typical turnaround time for that is about a week, and obviously that's going to vary just a little bit by location until you get the device. But most certainly you can be exploring and working on a solution in the meantime as well. It's also, with the hardware as a service model, there's also not a commitment. So if you want to check that out and try it, try a POC, right? You're going to try to develop a proof of concept. You've got a couple of IP cameras. You want to connect them to a Databox Edge and try an ML solution and see how that works for you. And if it works, that's awesome. That's certainly what we want to hear. And you keep it and you can expand that solution. If it doesn't, it's a service. You just send back the device, and that's all there is to it.
So Stephanie, I know that we probably have to be considerate of your time and let you go and not ask you a million more questions, but I am kind of curious. This keeps popping in my head, and I don't know if it's my ignorance showing or maybe I'm learning new things, but how does this relate to Azure Sphere? Because I know that that can run on like IoT devices. So is this related at all, or am I like totally out of left field by asking that question?
I think it's a great question, actually. So as it happens, Microsoft and Azure has the most comprehensive spectrum offering of IoT and edge devices on the market. And so that ranges from at the big end, of course, you have the Azure Hyperscale Cloud. All the way at the other end, we have the Azure Sphere, right? Those tiny microcontrollers and the reference architecture that's so important for securing IoT devices. And so then if you can go up a notch in terms of size from Azure Sphere, then you also have IoT. You have the Azure IoT SDK. There's over 1,000 devices that are qualified to work well with Azure IoT. And then you have the Azure IoT Edge, which are gateway class devices. So those are going to be smaller devices, sensors that can run Azure Edge roles. And then you have then you have what we call the heavy edge, and you have devices, you have two devices really in that category that are quite different. You have Azure Stack, which is a full on-prem cloud. So when you want essentially your own data center at the edge, right? And then you have the specialized device, which is the Azure Databox Edge, that small OneU server class appliance, which is really powerful, small form factor appliance that is specifically for running edge roles of Azure services. And what I mean by that is, for example, Azure Machine Learning, right? So that's optimized for running compute at the edge. Does that?
Yeah. I was just kind of curious. I was like, is it running Azure Sphere or is it getting data from potentially other devices that are running that? So yeah, I think that helped a lot. I think there's just so much innovation in this space that it's kind of trying to paint the picture for myself because I'm definitely not a machine learning guru by any means. So this has been extremely awesome to hear and really exciting.
Right. You're totally right. And it's a great question also because there's going to be a lot of solutions where you will see different devices from that spectrum that either work together or work on different parts of creating a solution. But you might, for example, want to have Azure Sphere sensors on equipment in a retail store or restaurant to be managing things like predictive maintenance on those devices. And what if those devices can then send data to Databox Edge to do additional processing? So you can certainly think about different levels of devices across that spectrum working together to create a really comprehensive solution as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. Any last departing thoughts before we drop off?
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about Databox Edge. We're super excited about this product. We are very eager to hear from folks, get feedback, and get engaged. So, give it a shot. Order a Databox Edge. We'd love to work with you and love to hear about your use cases. And and love to have an opportunity to talk more. So, yeah, thanks for letting me be here.
Thank you.
This has been great, Stephanie.
Yeah, agreed. This has been. I'm sure our listeners will find this informative because I learned a lot here on this podcast. So thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.